He's a good God. A good God. A good God. I'm so glad you came tonight. Aren't you glad? It's good to come where His presence is, if for no other reason than to remember how good He is. He's a good God. I've been... His presence is so good. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6. I want you to consider something for a moment. You're walking. Along the Sea of Galilee, you hear a voice so rich and so sweet. And it seems to be ringing through the hills. You turn and you see crowds of people, and atop the mountain there is one who is more beautiful than anyone you've ever seen. You walk around on the side of the mountain. You can't get your eyes off of the one speaking. He is so beautiful. There's something about him that draws your attention. He's just a man, but he speaks words like you've never heard in your whole life. Finally, you find a comfortable spot, and you can see him very clearly. And you think, I don't know what it is about this voice. It almost sounds otherworldly in its beauty. Or maybe it's not his voice at all. Maybe it is the words that he speaks. What is it about him? Think about what I'm saying. You sit and you listen to every word he speaks. And then you realize something is happening inside of you you've never experienced before. You've never heard a man speak like this man before. Then he says, pray like this: Our Father. And when he says it, you realize this man knows the Father. Listen to the way he says it. He knows God. How does a man know the Father? How does a man know God? How does a man know the Shekinah? How does a man know the Glorious One? How does a man know Hashem? How does a man know Adonai? Like that. Now listen very carefully. You're sitting there and you're Jewish. It seems like for decades now, the people have been waiting for the Messiah. They talk about him at meal. It is the buzz of the city. You go to synagogue. You hear about this glorious one. Could this man be he? Could this be the one that we've been waiting for? What man has ever spoken of God as his Father like this man? And your mind begins to search the scripture, the son of David. Today his son has been given, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Could this man be the one we've been waiting for? Who has ever known the Father like this man obviously knows the Father? And I hear him saying, pray therefore like this. This isn't how the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees pray. This isn't how my parents taught me to pray. Pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Suddenly, you're sitting there on the side of the mountain, and your eyes are opened. And you realize that you are sitting in front of the Son of God. He is not an ordinary man. He is the messenger sent to reveal the Father of Israel. Something tells me so deep within, he is the son of Hashem. What are you going to do with his words? A few years ago, I was in Israel praying. I took a group of people with me. We did a prayer journey. And there we stood on the top of the Mount of Beatitudes. overlooking the Galilee. And the Lord said to me, I want you to pray the Sermon on the Mount. That's how I want you to pray in this place. As I began to pray, before God, I'm telling you the truth. Several people around me, as I began to pray the Sermon on the Mount, I was suddenly back 2,000 years ago. I saw thousands of people on the side of the mount, sitting, listening. To the Son of God speaking as he shared the words on the Sermon on the Mount. I heard his words go forth. I saw his countenance. I saw the people. And I began to weep uncontrollably. Because as beautiful as his words were to my people, they didn't understand that he was no ordinary man. And I realized, had they really understood, had Israel really embraced the Messiah, at that point, many sorrows would have been averted. Many horrors would have been stopped because they would have had the refuge that he was inviting them to at that very moment. May I say to you, people want to pick up the phone and they want to call their friend or their brother or their sister or their husband or their wife. They just want to hear the voice of one they love. But in front of you are the words of the Son of the Living God, whose voice is more precious than any voice you will ever hear on this earth. Amen. There is no voice like his. It is so sweet to the human ear. I've never heard a voice like his. It is uniquely different. And when he speaks, your whole being is awakened to the Father. And that's why he came. He came to awaken you to the one that loves you. He came to help us understand that he's more than God. He's more than a savior. He's more than a force, a power. He's more than light. He's more than glory. He's Father. He's Father. He's your Father. He's my Father. He's Father that wants to reveal Himself to you, living God. When your heart really comes to grips with who He really is, you will live to hear His voice. You will live to hear His voice. There was a very powerful minister of God in Canada. For many years, he was one of the key leaders in the early charismatic movement. A very dear friend of mine used to travel with him. They would travel all over, stay in hotel rooms at night, minister. He said when they would go back to their room, my friend would turn the light off, and within minutes, he would hear the rustling of blankets, repositioning of this man's body as he climbed down out of bed and knelt down beside the bed and began to pray. He would pray all night long until about 5 o'clock in the morning. Every night. This was the way he lived. He would pray, my friend would try to sleep. He would pray, my friend would toss and turn. He would pray until, out of sheer exhaustion, my friend would fall asleep, but the pastor kept praying. When finally it was over, the quiet would wake my friend up. And he would call him by name so tenderly. He really loved the old man. He would call him by name so tenderly. And he'd say, "How did it go tonight?" And the old man would say, "He spoke to me." My friend would say, "What did he say? What did he say tonight?" And the old man would say, "He called me by name. And he said he loved me." I said, "How often did you talk to him like that?" He said, "Nita, every night. He would stay on his knees and pray until Jesus would say to him whatever he wanted to give him for that night." So my friend says to the pastor, "That's what he said to you last night, and the night before, and the night before that. It seems like that's what he says to you every night." And the old man said, "Really? It sounds so wonderful to hear those words." He's your Father. He's your Father. He's your Father. He's more than an ideal. He's more than a very precious experience in a service. He's more than to smell His fragrance as He walks by. He's more than signs and wonders. He's more than miracles and healings. He's more than the silent author of a book, black and white. He's more than the touch when you need it so bad. He's more than the peace when you feel the peace that you've longed for so much. He's more than the touch of love that suddenly flows down over you. He is more. He is more. He's more than the one who died on the cross to redeem your soul. He's more. He's more than an author that etched on papyri words that were immortal. He's more. He's your Father. He's your Father. He who is God is your Father. As any good father would desire to come and cradle you in his arms when you're young, and to wrap his arm around you when you're old. He desires to touch you. He desires to touch you in a tangible way. He wants to reveal his fatherhood to you. Let the words go in. There are Christians in the Christian church who will say it's not about feelings. It's not about what you see. It's about faith. And yes, those words are true. But it's only part of the truth, and it's only part of the coin. There is the other side. He longs to stretch his hand forth from the realm of the Spirit and touch those who belong to him. He is Father. When you are seeking his face and you're hurting and you need to know what is his will, he is Father. He wants to speak to you. When you are searching because you want to know him and understand him and learn him, he is Father. He wants to answer your prayer. He wants to help you understand him. He wants to help you learn his ways. He wants to help you feel him. Because he's Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. Hallelujah. He says, I'm not a God afar off. He could have said, I'm not a Father afar off. He's not hidden behind a veil never to be revealed. Jesus tore the veil open so that the Father could reveal himself to those on the other side. Don't continue to limit what you expect out of him, because you will get what you want. If you expect greatly, and you will align yourself to his ways, you can have great understanding, great wisdom, great knowledge, great experience of the Father. My Father, your Father, our Father. I love this, that when the Lord said, pray this way, he said, our Father. He didn't say, pray like this, my Father, meaning his own. He didn't say, pray like this, your Father. But he came into perfect identification with his listeners, letting them know, I am your brother. He is our Father. What I have with him, you also can have. What I know of him, you also can know. He's our Father, our Lord's Father, your Father, my Father. I don't think you're getting it. Are you getting it? Are you? Are you sure? I don't think you're allowed to be so stoic. If you're getting it. Denny and Janelle and I came in earlier. We walked into the interior here. And they were standing there talking. I think it was to Fred. I'd gone over to, I think, talk to Tony there for a minute. And I turned around, and the Lord Jesus Christ was walking across the floor to Janelle. Stand up. She was standing there listening, looking at her husband. And I saw him come and stretch his arms out like this to her and then disappear. I said, Janelle, the Lord is here. He's real. He's real. He comes and he wants to hold you. He wants you to feel his hands and his arms. He wants to say your name and he wants you to hear his voice. He wants to speak to you in visions in the day and dreams at night. He wants to open his word to you so that when you read it, it becomes a letter to you. And his word becomes like honey on your tongue. Christianity was never meant to be boring. It was meant to be in a living experience with a living God. And if it's a living experience, that means it keeps moving, living, increasing. What did you experience in God? You mean for the last 30 years? Well, no, I mean like in the last week. Experiencing God is a lifetime endeavor. If it's not, you're not expecting enough. Does he want to talk to me and not to you? I can remember one time I was telling him how much I loved him. Do you ever just have to do that with him? I was just telling him how much I loved him. I just felt like I was exploding with love for him. And he breaks into my conversation of all things. And he says to me, "Nita, I love the moments we share together. Every minute you're with me, I love every moment. But you cannot satisfy my longing for my other children." He said, "It's like a mother who has two children. One child gives her lots of attention. The other child is just too busy. And no matter how much attention she gets from the one child, she loves it. She enjoys every minute. But he can't satisfy her longing for the other, who gives her very little attention." He said, "I am the same way. I need time with each one of my children. I want to put them on my lap, reveal myself to them, nestle my mouth down into their neck, and tell them how much I love them. I want to hold them, and I want to feel that touch. That happens when it's just them and me. Why should he have excessive time from one and none from another? He longs for you. What good father does not long for his children? Listen to me. What good father does not long for his children? He's the best father of all. Our Father, who is in heaven. And who is here? Who is in me? Who is in you? Who is intimately involved in your life? Intricately involved in your life. He knew the beginning from the end the day he created you. Nothing took him by surprise. He knew the minute he created you when he was going to be able to hold you and hear you say, "Father." For the first time in your life, he knew the plans that he had for you to do you good in the end. He knew the struggles you would go through and the doubts you would face. He knew how many trials you would endure before you would finally open your eyes and see the hand reaching out to you. You think because you're a Christian, you're walking close enough. That is a deception. Why, when he is glorious Father, do you want to walk 5 miles back when you can walk by his side? Why do you want to know him from a distance when you can have him right up close? He's your Father. He will never leave you. Ever. He'll never desert you to stand alone. Ever. You will never pray for bread and get a rock. There's no duplicity in him. Underneath you are the everlasting hands of the Father. Your Father. You need to be awakened. Everyone does. And we need to be awakened line upon line. Here a little, there a little. The awakening happens gradually. I understand this, then we must awaken another part of you to understand something else. And then another part of you to understand something else. The awakening happens in degrees. But listen to me. Your Father wants to awaken more in you than he's ever awakened before, because he wants to reveal himself to you more than he's ever revealed himself before. Hard times are pressing, are they not? He doesn't want you walking through the storm alone. He wants you to know he's here for you. He's tangible. He's real. He may not end the storm overnight, but he promises that he will never leave you alone in the storm. He may not end the storm in a year or 2 years. You may have a particularly long trial, but he will never leave you alone, because he is Father who is able to stand with you to the end. You may feel like you're alone, but may I tell you this? If you do, it's because you are not expecting enough of God. Why would the Son of God say to us, pray like this? Our Father, unless the Father is willing to hear. He prays it. He teaches us also to pray it, because our Father is listening. He is in heaven because he is high above all circumstances. He's high above everything that affects you. He is in heaven, and therefore he knows the beginning from the end. He knows what he's bringing you into. He is in heaven for your sake. But he's also here. Are you thinking that this is good? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Do you think that you've heard this before? You see, it's not about words. It is about the Spirit of the living God penetrating your heart with truth. I would like to talk no more and ask the Spirit of the Lord to say to you what needs to be said. What you need to hear from Him. So that you can say, I have never heard it before. Because, my dear friends, until you hear it with your heart, you have never heard it before. He's our Father. He's our Father. He's your Father. Jesus stood atop that mountain, and He was teaching all who would hear, trailing down like so many flocks of sheep. And He was teaching them the truth about our Father. Ask the Spirit of the Lord right now to reveal to your heart the truth about our Father. Ask Him to awaken your heart to God so that you can know the truth. So that you can experience the truth. He touches me. I know He's tangible. But how do I know the truth that He's transcendent? That He's alive from age to age. He never dies. He was there in the beginning and He's there in the end of time. How do I know this truth? We may have heard about it like Job. But it wasn't until God came and revealed the truth to Job face to face that Job could say, I heard about you with the hearing of my ears, but now my eyes see through to you. How do you know that He's transcendent? Because He reveals it to you. You begin to understand what it means that He was here in the beginning and He'll be there in the end, and that there is no changing in Him. When He reveals to you the truth that is in His Word, He wants you to go beyond the head knowledge and be His child experiencing the truth, the manifold truth. Of course, you can wait till heaven. You can. I invite you to do that. Wait until heaven. Don't press in for it today. Don't pray. Don't open the Bible and say to God, reveal this truth to my heart. Don't do that. Wait till heaven. Isn't there something in here that says He saved the best wine for last? Let's wait till heaven. Think of all of the experiences that you could have had here that you will have stored up for heaven. Think about how hungry you'll be because you never had what you could have had here. And you'll be so hungry by the time you get to heaven because you've stored it all up. Please wait until heaven. As long as He takes care of you, right? Takes care of you financially. Heals your body when you need Him to. Touches you in a worship service. Save the rest for the last. No? and close your eyes and open your heart. And say, Father, I must know you. I must know you. What is this life for, if not to know my Father? I must know you. I don't want it to be like before. I must know you. I must know my Father. I want to know you. Please close your eyes and open your heart and cry out to Him so that He can answer you. I want a tangible walk with my Father. I want to know what it feels like to feel the breath of your mouth, to feel the nearness of your presence when you draw near. I want to know what it feels like when you reveal a wonderful part of your nature and your character. I must know you. This life is but a breath. It lasts only for a moment. Prepare me for eternity with you. I must know you now. Please let me share one more thing with you. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? We relate to everything in this life by what is tangible. These words were spoken by the Son of God. The quality of your life is not about the food you eat. Life is not about the clothes you wear. Life and its value is not about the clothes you wear, the house you live in, the car you own. When you get to heaven, there are two vast extremes. May I share them with you for a moment? If your life has consisted in worry, concern, desiring to gain material things in this earth, you have your reward already. That's what He says in His Word. That is your reward. The comforts that you derive in these many things is your reward. Does He say that? In Luke, I believe it's chapter 6. He says that. When you get to heaven, because all your time and your energy has been spent on material things in this life, the glory that you will be in when you get to heaven will be very, very minimal. Now look from this end of the building to out front. Just turn your heads, look here, and then look there to the window out front. When Christ is in His full, effulgent glory, if you have spent all of your time on earthly pursuits, you will not be able to cope, not even in heaven, with being even that close to him. You are here, he is there, but the effulgence of his glory will be so great, your unprepared soul will not be able to tolerate it. And it will take time in heaven for the angels and the saints to prepare your soul to stand in the presence of his effulgent glory. Now, if he comes to you like the lowly Son of Man, different. He can come and draw near to you. But when you're in heaven, you don't want to live there. You want to live in the effulgence of his glory. Am I right? But those who have prepared their soul for his glory here, when they get to heaven, standing in the effulgence of his glory will be very natural. I'm going to tell you the truth. Were Peter, James, and John struck dumb when they saw Moses and Elijah and they saw the Lord in his transcendent glory? Were they beside themselves? Did they know what to do with what they were seeing? It was a remarkable thing. But it put them right into confusion. Because their earthly soul had not yet been prepared for such a glorious experience. When I've been taken to heaven and I have seen various saints, do you believe God would do that? Raise your hand if you do. And he allows you to see various saints. Remember where Moses walked with God. Remember the glory and the beams that shot forth from his face because of where he walked with God. Remember? Elijah also walked in a very high place in God, but not as high as Moses. When I'm in front of Elijah, I can bear it. It's not easy, but I can bear it. When I'm in front of Moses, I cannot bear it because of the splendor and the glory that exudes from him even today. Not because of the way he walked here only, but because he gave it all to God. He gave it all to God to such a degree that he was wholly and totally owned by God. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Raise your hand if you understand. Because he gave it all to God so that he was consumed with God and the glory of God flashed from him. His soul was completely prepared for the dwelling place right next to the Father when he got to heaven. So he still dwells in much higher glory than most of the heavenly residents. Because that's the way it is. Just like everyone is in their own station here on earth, the same is true of heaven. We all go from glory to glory. But it starts at the price that you paid to know him here. So you don't know the loss that you're incurring. May I be very, very honest with you? Will you still love me? Do you know that I love you? Or I wouldn't tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you. Do you know that? You don't know the price you're paying for your laziness about divine things. I can tell you, God loves you so much, He wants you to go out and buy a new car, and He'll help you pay for it. But if it means you have to work longer hours, and you have set your heart on something that is other than God, I am cheating you out of the best. You don't know what that car is going to cost you before it's over. Because this life is not about houses or cars or food or clothing. That is the devil's trap. This life, please listen to every word I'm going to say. This life is about going from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Until you have learned how to walk in the glory. When you come to that place, He is yours and you are His. And your soul is ready for the highest and best. Everyone has to work, right? I'm not telling you not to work. Everyone needs clothes on our body. We took care of that clear back in Adam and Eve. What I'm telling you is don't set your heart on these things. Get what you need and get out of the store. Because there's one who's calling your name. And He's sitting right out there in the hallway until you come out of Macy's. Do you believe me? Do you? Our Father. And who is the one that is leading us to our Father? He is our brother. Am I not going to follow my brother to my dad? Kevin, do you feel a desire for Him tonight? Let's just take a few minutes and close our eyes. And draw near to God.